Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody, live from Chicago. Welcome. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. All things sports medicine, fitness and wellness. Man, we miss sports, don't we? Some sort of that fun diversion. Everybody pay attention. Smart hygiene, social distancing, be educated, be safe. We've got a great doubleheader today. We're in Finland. We're going to be talking with Adrian Harrell, PhD. He's the founder and CEO of Finland's Metacortex. We're talking traumatic brain injuries, concussions, head trauma. And then returning, Catherine Price Snedeker. She's the executive director of Pink Concussions, Female Brain Injuries. There's a difference. She's truly one of the leaders in the field from Fordham University. Then everybody knows it's the Sports Doctors in. Some emails, upcoming guests. First, I want to welcome from Finland, Adrian Harrell, founder, CEO, Metacortex. Welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Thank you very much, Sports Doctor, and I would like you to call me Adrian.
Okay, and you can call me Dr. Bob. And Adrian, if you please give us a background on you and Metacortex.
Okay, I am a PhD in neurobiology from the Weizmann Institute of Science from Israel. And 6 years ago, I heard Barack Obama, and he challenged us, the neurobiologists, to come up with the solutions to different problems that he encountered, mainly about the American soldiers that were misdiagnosed as having PTSD, whereas most of them suffered from head injury. I took it upon myself as a personal challenge and set up Metacortex. The reason that I set up the company in Finland is that the Finnish government offered me grants and financial support, at least at the beginning. And this is what I'm doing. I'm focusing on developing a diagnostic kit for traumatic brain injury.
Yes, it's a major key, Adrian. I have been speaking about concussions and head injuries for over 20 years, give or take a few weeks, on a Sports Doctor. I've had neurosurgeons, we've had psychologists, we've had researchers like yourself talking about the head injury and concussion challenge. Of course, in sports, it's a very, very big deal, the whole football story, the whole head trauma story. So the research information to try to come up with identification, treatment, situations of returning to sport or activity is such a big deal. And tell us about some of your opinions in the sports world, for example, and the challenge of head trauma.
As you can expect here in Finland, the most popular sport is ice hockey. I think that everyone from very early age to professional adults are all engaged in sports that are contact sports that have a lot of injuries, some of them related directly to the sport itself, some of them are related to the aggression in the game. But if we look at other sports like boxing, kickboxing, the American football, rugby, cricket, all of those cases, a player will suffer a concussion and usually go home and never, ever know about it. Unless it is accumulating, I doubt that anyone is even telling him that he should be afraid of that.
Yes, this is the challenge. Adrian, the education of awareness. We spend a big amount of attention on the Sports Doctor to getting these kids to admit they got really hit or hit hard in the game. ironically, my subspecialty, Adrian, is with sports podiatry, is I put orthotics in skates. I've been doing that for 40 years. My 2010 Olympic gold medal figure skating champion, Evan Lysacek. So hockey's a big deal with the sports doctor. And yet you could play a game of hockey and not collide. However, in football, it's impossible not to have collisions. And the whole idea of concussions being, you know, the trauma inside the brain of the head being whacked around with collisions, this is something that we've really started to learn to pay very big attention to. And that's why you, as an educator, I pay such a big deal to, Adrian.
I think this is exactly what we are trying to do. We are not focusing on the severe head injuries. We are starting our diagnostics with very mild traumatic brain injury, something that people will call concussion. And actually, we were able to find that following such an injury, the cells that are being broken and secrete or release their content, those molecules or those biomarkers, I can find in peripheral fluids. For example, we can find it in the saliva and we can find it in the urine. Why is it so important? Because I think that if a coach or a doctor can ask from a player to go to the side, step out, and be tested in a 5 seconds by just using his saliva or urine, I think it's very good because then the coach...
Adrian, from the Athlete Intelligence Group, Gary Rubens, with their mouth guard to try to send data to the sidelines, again, to try to get the ability to identify what's going on. What's the website, Adrian, for your company and your research?
So it's very simple. It's www.medicortex.fi. Just look for Medicortex or Adrian. There are not so many people. If I can go for a second again to the story, this biomolecule that we are detecting in the urine or saliva can actually give a very fast indication to the player or to the coach or to the doctor, this player had a brain injury. Do not ask him to go ahead and continue to play. Ask him to go out, rest. So this is a major, major change in sport.
Yes.
Because we will be able in the future to give it to anyone. The device will not require electricity. You don't need to be a MD or a PhD to read the results.
Who's using it?
Sorry?
Which do you have any schools, any universities, any teams that are using your technology and that are aware of it?
Not at the moment. We have just completed the clinical trials that are part of the regulatory approval.
Well, I'll tell you this. The sports doctor is going to help you make that happen, Adrian. We're going to pay big attention to what you're doing.
Thank you.
Because it's a big deal. Again, the idea, and again, one of my favorite sentences is there just is no safe football. Everybody looking at helmet technology to make a difference, and the ability to be able to tell whether you should send that player, whether it's soccer, whether it's hockey, whether it's football, rugby, you would have an ability in a few minutes to make an intelligent decision. That's a very, very big deal. Is it available?
No, not yet. We are in the process of finalizing the clinical trials. Until now, we have tested it on adults, but now we have started a clinical trial on children, meaning that we are testing children that arrive to the emergency after falling or after being hit or some accident, and are actually measuring what is the earliest time point after the concussion that we can detect it, and how does it change over time? Because we do realize that not everyone is getting to the hospital in the first minutes or hours. The average time for arrival to emergency is probably 4 hours all over the world. So we need to be sure that this
injury. That's severe injuries that everybody identifies and pays attention to. I call it micro trauma. When a person asks, how many hits does it take to start causing trouble? And the answer is, who knows? It's iffy. We don't know how many hits it takes to start causing trouble, whether it's cognitive problems in these young athletes or whether it's other kinds of sleep problems in these young athletes or other kinds of symptoms. So the ability, what's your ballpark thinking, Adrian, in time that you think your technology would be able to be available to anybody? Ballpark.
Let me first refer to your point. I do not personally think that the number of injuries and the severity of the injury is the main factor. To my opinion, from my experience, it's the location. Because a very minor injury to a center that is controlling a blood pressure or heartbeat or memory may have much more significant outcome than hitting a part of the brain which is storing some long-term memories, which if you lose them, nothing will happen. But if a center that controls the vital sign will go away, then even a minor one can cause a very long-term effect, maybe even.
Yeah, I got to put you guys together, Adrian. Again, the sensor in a helmet, which can not only send data whether there's aggressive activity going on, but the location at the same time. That's very interesting because, of course, somebody gets their bell rung, quote unquote. At the very least, no one has any idea what the heck the location is. Everybody listening to the Sports Doctor, I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. You can go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. If you go to radio shows, you can go back years. Who were the guests? What were the topics? All areas, again, in sports medicine, wellness, or fitness. If you go over to newspaper articles and magazines, you could read an endless array of articles. Again, whether it's talking about concussions and the different articles and guests we've had on with these challenges with youth sports, or whether my article on women in high heels gets a lot of attention. I get a lot of guests from Twitter. I can't tell you how many guests. We have a lot of information. We have over 30,000 followers at Doc, D-O-C Radio. A lot of excitement with MVP Parent Magazine. My lower extremity review colleagues, this new magazine, MVP Parent, lots of excitement. We're having a conversation from Finland with Adrian Harrell. He's the founder, CEO of Metacortex. We're talking brain trauma, sports brain trauma, you know, the military. What a fantastic world that is, Adrian. Tell us more about the actions you're looking to take. How young do you think it would be that your test would be available in a 12, 13, 14-year-old hockey player or something like that? What are your thoughts?
First of all, to answer your previous question, we assume that we will have a product within 18 to 24 months. We have to complete the clinical trial that we have started on children, and now this new corona epidemic may delay it a little bit because children are now more confined at home and less running outside and doing crazy sports. So it's good for them. They're not getting head injuries, but it's bad for us because we don't have patients. Regarding the product itself, the product will be available for everyone. A paramedic in ambulance will have it. A mother can buy it and keep it at home. It can be kept in the car. And if, God forbid, there is an injury, this can give the sign whether you should go to the hospital or maybe you should stay away because the hospital is not such a nice place to be.
I'm very excited. You know, I'm very excited about this possibility. You know, our second guest, of course, you know, Catherine Price-Nedeker, who said that she knows you, you know, the executive director of Pink Concussions and the whole world of women's concussions.
Yes, I'm following them. I'm following them and supporting them, yes.
Yes, and vice versa. You know, 25 years ago, 20 years ago, if an athlete, how many fingers go back in the game? We've come a long way, baby. But yet again, the reality is there's so much more attention we need to pay. And we're going to follow you and what you're doing. and try to get really more and more people aware of the fact that something like this is available. Like a lot of my friends in the world of concussions, and the what are your thoughts in the world of helmets, Adrian? You know, American helmets, American football. What are your thoughts, helmets in hockey?
I am supporting 100% to wear a helmet, whether it's when you're using your bicycles or when you're active in a sport or you're taking anything dangerous can fall on your head. I think that it can reduce the strength and the force of the injury. It can be the difference between breaking your bone or not, but it will have very little to none effect on the inner brain movement and the concussion that will happen following the injury.
That's the revelation.
Yes, I am.
Adrian, that's the revelation that American football and rugby, hockey has been just scared to death to hear. That the collision of the body, whether you're hitting the ground, whether you're colliding with the offensive lineman, whether you're checking somebody, we are faced with the reality that we have to continue to change rules as best we can as we start to understand, like what you're talking about, the reality that we have to take brain trauma and concussions and brain injuries seriously. And I'm sure that the medical profession, as well as the sports profession, has got to be very excited about, you know, what you're doing as you get into your clinical trials and you start to really see how, I mean, that's exciting, you know, where a parent could have this to be able to pay attention to this, coaches, it's not, you got to go to the hospital, et cetera, a great tool for a parent or a coach to make that instant kind of determination regarding that. So I'm excited, Adrian. We're definitely going to have you back and follow with what you're doing and put you together with some of these people. Give me again, please, the website to find out about Adrian and his work.
It's www.medicortex.fi, or just look for Adrian Harel. I think that having such a device is a game changer, because nowadays when a child or even an adult goes to the hospital and the doctor decides to have a CT or an MRI, he's actually being exposed to radiation. And sometimes he will need to be injected with a contrast color and so on, meet other sick people. And, you know, in most of the cases, the CT will come back negative. And actually, the whole procedure was for nothing. So I think that such a kit will be a really game changer in the way the doctors decide whether to send somebody.
You know, the word, Adrian, is screening, to be able to make a decision. So many of the individuals, especially in the world of youth sports, the ability to help make an intelligent decision whether you should be, for example, again, going to the emergency room and running to see a doctor, or being able to determine those kinds of situations is a big deal. I want to thank you so much, Adrian Harel, founder, CEO of Medicortex. Adrian, hold on, please. We'll be right back, everybody.
No problem.
Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharky Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharky is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharky talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kids. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctors Inn, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together 8 different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about 6 parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Everybody, live from Chicago, it's live radio, it's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. I want to welcome one of our previous guests, Catherine Snedeker. She's Pinky, executive director of Pink Concussions. She's one of the real champions who has brought to the forefront the importance of the differences between male and female. There are differences in the world of concussions. She's a real educator. Hey, Catherine, welcome back to the Sports Doctor.
Thanks for having me back on.
Give us some background on you and Pinky, if you would, right off the bat. Let's jump right in.
I started Pink Concussions in 2012 as a website just to give information for really parents of high school students that were girls that were taking a long time to recover. And once I put it up as a website, it really took off, and more people were connecting. Then we've had about 7 international conferences since, and then I run support groups for about 5,000 women, girls, professionals, and parents online. So
I hope you're sending them all the show.
Yeah, I will send them all the show. We're up to 8,000 followers on Twitter.
Was it a big surprise, Catherine, when the revelation that there were differences in male and female concussions, you know, in the world of medicine, in the world of sports? I remember thinking, and you and I go back a while, X amount of years, it was a surprise to lots of people. Talk about that a little.
Actually, the work goes back. Tracy Kvasson first did the work in 1989, 2002, 2003, and she did bring out from the sports world that women that were playing the same sports as men, the same risk level, they were both playing soccer, same rules, that they were shown to have concussions at a higher rate. Overall, there's
was anybody paying attention?
No one was really paying attention.
No,
I think, I mean, if you look
attention.
Back now, but Tracy proved it over and over again. And she simply asked the NCAA for their concussion records and then started going through it and pulled out these differences from the NCAA data. And it's been repeated over and over again. I think it changes because the people that were sports parents, you know, in 2007 aren't parents in 2020. I mean, we change out.
That's why I changed the title of my book. I changed the title of my book, you know, from hashtag Hey Sports Parents to hashtag Hey Sports Parents and Sports Grandparents.
You're definitely absolutely right.
Yes.
So you get one group educated, and I always say it's like Groundhog Day that, you know, they repeat again, hey, girls have different concussion rates than boys. But
what I was able to do
with Pink Concussion is to take everybody's work up until the point and pull it together.
Right.
So I kind of did a marketing job. I put a ribbon around some really amazing work that other people had done that wasn't getting the attention it should have gotten.
Now you're doing international conferences. You know, you were Georgetown. You had some of these other incredible programs. What are some of the, in English, differences that you see between boys and girls, men and women in the world of concussions?
Well, there's three main ones that they look at, and that is that women sustain a higher rate of concussion than men, and that is there's more male brain injury than female. You guys take more risks. You drive faster, up until recently drank more. Really just more risky behaviors, yeah, especially in age, 15 to 25. But if risk is equal, like in a sport like soccer, then you see women concuss at a higher rate. Women also report a higher number and more severe symptoms than men. Women will have, 4 to 5 to 6 symptoms. Men maybe, have a smaller number of symptoms. And then this is really sort of a controversial one, whether women have longer recoveries than men. There's a really great study out of CHOP Tina Masters did that was showing that girls were taken to concussion experts, I think it was 4 or 5 days or even 6 later than boys. And then they saw that they had a slower recovery. So the question is is there something about women that makes them have a slower recovery? Or is it the girls have fewer athletic trainers around them and parents that may not be as educated?
I'm sure it's a combination. It's a combination of all of those things. Our friends that we've had on the show in the past, people like Kimberly Archie, who's worked, in the world of the cheerleading and that whole brain trauma world. And the fact, again, you're an educator, and athletic trainers and coaches and sports parents need to know something very important, for instance, like you just mentioned. Geez, maybe people don't pay as attention as much as quickly for whatever the reason is.
Or the athletic girls trainer don't just play... simply isn't there.
Exactly.
The athletic trainer is covering the male sport and is on call but doesn't see it. It seems to me anecdotally, I have so many girls that have left the sporting event, are in the car driving home, and are so sick they have to pull over and throw up outside the car. And it seems to me that either women suppress the symptoms until they're alone and, driving. Do they really understand how bad they feel?
There might be some macho, with all the sports psychology, the mental game, as we talk about on the Sports Doctor for like 2.5 decades. The fact the macho side of girls' sports, for example, I'm going to be tough. I'm an athlete. And that might be, we'll have to bring that up with some of our psychologists and sports psychologists. Idea when you talk about maybe not mentioning, what's the website that people can go to and find out all about Pinky?
So we have pinkconcussions.org. It's also, if you put in .com, I own both URLs, so it ends up. And then on Facebook, we have about 11 different groups with over about, I think we're probably 5,500 people right now. So if you type in Pink Concussions into Facebook, we have an Instagram account, we have a YouTube channel. There's lots of information there, and there's lots of really amazing, women, parents, and professionals a part of it. I've been kind of the host of the party, but it's all the party guests and all the people that are around that are pretty amazing. And we're very virtual, which works out really well in the times of COVID because it doesn't really change
what we do. As we've watched, and I that's why I put you together with my friends, the new exciting MVP Parent Magazine that I'm very involved with Rich Dubin, who's just celebrated his 10th anniversary with Lower Extremity Review. And the fact that there are the big business of youth sports includes big time girl sports. And right. The educational side of what you're talking about is a very, very big deal, because overkill times 10, as I talk about it many times in youth sports, is the overdoing it and the over pushing, and the kinds of pressures are big physical, like what you're talking about. They're also big mental, like we're hinting at, this whole idea of overzealous coaching and overzealous sports parenting. And, hey, people, back off here a little bit.
Yeah, as a sports parent, my boys are 23, and right now my twins. And, I was actually part of it. We had our
– Yes,
I helped
of course,
run
we all
the,
were.
Yes. Lacrosse
and most
league
of it's good.
Yeah, but there were definitely extra things that we added on looking back. Now I look and the parents now have taken stuff into hyperdrive. So, yes. You know, everybody plays their role of, but if I look, compare how youth sports were when my boys started in first grade and now look what some of these kids are doing, you know, and again, you don't see the long picture. You only see the 6 years that you're in it.
Yeah. Overkill times 10. One of the biggest chapters in my book is called Youth Sports and Drugs, where we see many of these kids live on over-the-counter Advil, whatever, because they're hurting and they're trying to stay in the game and these kinds of, it's nuts in some of these different areas.
And of course, definitely. It's become, and we'll see that within concussion too, where they're already on medications
I think
for
the brain and
shoulder.
Is pediatrics and medicine, Catherine, paying as much attention? You've brought a lot of attention, but are they paying attention to these kinds of differences and factors you're talking about with the pink concussions?
I think so. I mean, we're definitely getting more and more people that, you know, at conferences don't come up and question the idea. They just want to know the latest research. John Letty and Barry Willer are doing some amazing stuff at University of Buffalo, really getting down to how should girls be rehabbing, and exercise is a component of that. So that's very exciting. After talking about the topics for so long, science.
You know, how long I've been
ahead.
Trying to sell. How long I've been trying to sell the idea of some sort of modified light bike helmet, almost for soccer, for women's soccer. And the whole heading controversy and the that whole challenge, you know, again, the sports and youth drugs, again, the young girl pulling to the side of the road and throwing up, then goes home and takes two Advil, and then they take it the next day to go to practice. This is a very, very big challenge, again, as we're looking at these kinds of challenges with youth sports. And the explosion of women's sports and the, you know, like a girls' hockey and women's ice hockey, and then paying attention to, you know, the collisions and the helmets and that side of it. I'm sure, I know you featured lots of people talking about those things because it's still a big deal, the protection, right?
Yeah, I was going to say that, you know, I'm excited about how many women and girls are becoming involved in sports, but what I'm concerned is the number that are injured and don't get to play through. I mean, the number of girls I know that started and had middle school and high school careers, went off to college, and then from overuse injuries or concussions just don't even finish out their college careers.
We're going to talk more about that, everybody. It's the Sports Doctor. We're going to be right back with Catherine Snedeker in concussions. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com. Everybody, we're back live from Chicago. It's one of the things I like about live radio. You know, before we had our guest was from Finland, and now, Catherine, where are you?
I'm about an hour north of New York City, unfortunately currently in the red hot zone of COVID-19.
Oh, but, yes, but you've got to...
You look for the brightest part of COVID, that's where I am.
Yo. So stay safe. You know, I'm a New Yorker. I practice my New York accent once a week. I'm a sports doctor, as you know. So my heart goes out to everybody on the East Coast. We're talking with Catherine Snedeker, Executive Director of Pink Concussions. and we were talking about the frustration with, again, the reason I co-authored hashtag #HeySportsParents is the epidemic, with a capital E, of overuse injuries in youth sports, both male and female. And you, and of course, part of that is concussions, to say the least. Pick up more on that, again, as an educator, and the explosion of girls' sports and the challenges of what we're talking about with concussions.
I just finished tracking. I just, in my district, Norwalk Public Schools, 11,000 kids, just finished tracking kids from age kindergarten through high school, and looked at the rates of concussions. And, you know, we're just finding with the elementary school girls, the rate is much higher than anyone expects. And then as you look over time, the rate in elementary school was about 32% of the concussions were girls, and about middle school,
and this is
it goes
kids.
Up.
This is kids who are playing in PE and are running around, you know.
PE, and half the concussions are at home and half are at school. So then you break them down to sports and non-sports. So what we're trying to look at is where are the concussions happening and what are covered by our Connecticut law. Every state has their own concussion law.
Ah, the world of liability. As you get into sports, junior high school, adolescence, how does that add, as you see it, to the frequency and whatever of concussions as the organized and young sports world begins to get into these girls' lives?
Well, what we find is that, you know, that increase from 30% of the concussions with girls to elementary school to 42% middle school. And then it goes up in high school, at least for the 4 years I looked at in our one district, 62% of the concussions were girls. So you're really, as they get older, the risk is higher. And I really, if you look at the numbers, it's the sports. The girls aren't playing the sports in elementary school the way the boys are.
And, bottom line, too, Catherine, the bottom line that you talk about is this necessity of awareness in girls' sports that, number one, maybe these girls aren't being as truthful about, or the awareness is still lacking. The question you mentioned, whether a girl takes longer to come back, and I've had so many diagnostic people in the world of head trauma, concussions, on the sports doctor talking about all sorts of analyses in coming up with, data with when it's safe for somebody to go back. And it's still very, very iffy, to say the least.
Yeah, no,
like with our psychology,
with our
psychology friends, you know, when can you safely go back? I don't know, but there's much more attention being paid to that. So, the idea of, number one, getting the kid out of the game as quickly as possible, whatever the game is, whoever the kid is. And number two, the necessity of not returning to the game without some professional attention. And then it, again, starts to become, but there's so much more awareness of that. And you're one of the ones I'm very commendable to the fact that people are paying much more attention.
Yeah, and, you know, at least in the state of Connecticut, our Connecticut concussion law is very confusing for parents, because if you get whether you're a boy or a girl, if you get a concussion playing for your high school official team, you have an athletic trainer, they do the return to play protocol. Even if the doctor clears you, the athletic trainer has to do the final clearance, you know, and you have all these supports. If you get a concussion in gym class in high school, you don't get any of that. If you get a concussion playing in an outside league, you don't get any of that, right?
That's surprising. I guess it makes sense when I think about it for 9 seconds. But initially, it's surprising. That's a lack, you know, because, again, like we're saying, you know, yes, there's a lot of sports-related stuff. There's also, you know, the kid who's riding a skateboard to school and might fall off it, or his bike, or whatever it happens to be. We know concussions happen. One of the challenges on the sports doctor, Kevin, as you know, is the fact when we're talking a sport like football, where collisions are a part of it, whether you like it or not, whether it's the most popular sport or it isn't, it is collision after collision, and this is a big deal. And this is one of, on the sports doctor, I call it society's great dilemmas. which is, what the heck are we going to do about youth and tackle football, really? Let alone girls playing it, which really drives me crazy, as small as it is, you know, that whole idea. And we're still treading water in a lot of ways, but there's so much more attention being paid. Liability, I think, Catherine, is going to get in the way, like when you talk about these concussion laws. You know, the whole name, student-athlete, came from liability, really. You know, what are the schools liable for and whatever. So I can imagine you're up to your ears with the medical legal stuff in your world.
Yeah, no, and interesting enough, in Connecticut, when the last time I got involved in 2014, trying to update our law to include youth sports so that if you did get a concussion at the Parks and Rec League that you were covered by the law, was the YMCA really pushed back, and their lobbyists put a lot of effort into blocking youth sports being included in the law because the YMCA didn't want to have the responsibility to have all of their child care providers have concussion education, and they didn't want the additional liability of saying that all of the YMCA providers.
You know, you would think that the importance of safety of these kids absolutely is the number one, the priority. And then when you get into the real world, you know, and I ran into this, I'm still running into this over the decades. I've talked about childhood obesity on the Sports Doctor, you know, getting a school to change things. Hey, let's walk every day. Well, you know, there's live, and et cetera, et cetera. So those kinds of challenges are very, very real ones, even though you would think that eventually, absolutely, these organizations will insist on the concussion awareness education in order to be able to make intelligent decisions. And I can see very much that that's one of your challenges, whether it's a sports group or a park district or, you know, even something like the YMCA, where, again, you're talking about who's got to be liable here to jump on something and make sure it's taken care of properly. This is one of the my friend Dr. Steve Horowitz with Team Sport, with him paying such attention to what do you do on the sidelines, you know, with parents being aware of, you know, who's calling who and whatever, these kinds of rules. It makes so much sense. Yet the liability side, is another hassle. So I would expect, again, with women's sports, professional women's sports, very serious women's college sports and high school, that there's a lot more awareness and attention to your education and what you're making them aware of.
Yeah, I think we're moving in that way. Unfortunately, another side of COVID is that all of the concussion tests and protocols and research that was going on this year, and there were a lot of amazing projects going on, are all halted because the kids aren't in school.
So, yes, this is this is new, uncharted, all of us, incredible territory that is just a mental shock to all of us. And whatever the area is, there's just no doubt about it.
One minute.
Whether it's not having sports even to watch and be, pay attention to and that whole side of diversion, or it's the fact that all these kids are out of school, and from the educational side to these other kinds of sides, but it's all going to come back. It's going to come back as aggressive as ever, which is why it's so important that your type of awareness that the medical and everybody else. Give me the quickie, Catherine, the website, the pinky.
pinkconcussions.com.org. I have both of them. Sometimes people forget, but it's the color pink and then concussions with an S on the end.
Pink concussions,
email.
Plural.
Yep.
.com.org. Catherine,
yep, we got them all.
Catherine. Thank you so much for joining me. We're going to be right back with the Sports Doctor. Hold on, Catherine. Hey, everybody. Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the low extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com.
If you live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com.
Hey, live from Chicago. Welcome back. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Wild, sports podiatrist, Sports Doctors in segment. And a big announcement that's going to happen within a month. My online course, Hey Sports Parents, the Sports Doctors in. I'm going to be a quarterback. I'm going to be recommending these endless array of experts in the area of sports medicine for whatever your son or daughter's concern is, whether it's nutrition, whether it's orthotics, whether it's mental physical training. I'll let you know more about it as time goes by. April Fool's Day, coming up guests. We're going to be talking stem cells. Dr. Matt Otten is going to be joining us. Then we're going to be talking about sleep, the importance of sleep and recovery, and then jumping in at the last minute, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Karen Sutton. And she's very involved with play at home, stay at home, this whole coronavirus situation, trying to be active with the kids. The following week, Yogi Berra's granddaughter, writer with ESPN, other groups, storyteller Lindsay Berra, will be joining us. And Christine Blanchett, who hosts the podcast Run With It, she's been on my show, I've been on hers, will be joining us. So some great stuff coming up. I've got some emails here. There it is. Tim, my 13-year-old daughter, is a serious everyday figure skater. She's got bumps on the back of the heels. They bother her once in a while. She would be concerned. Yes, Tim, you should be concerned. But a couple of things, very successful in dealing with it. Usually excessive motion of the heel, rocking back and forth. The fact that you're in a skate, which is confining, it's almost like wearing a cast on the foot, will cause the back of the heel, that bump on the back, which is part of the anatomy, to get aggravated, get irritated. Sometimes the bone is extra large, called Haglund's. We put orthotics in skates all the time, Tim, with great success to control that type of excessive motion. We combine it almost routinely with the bootmaker punching out the back of the boot in order to give a little bit of almost a window-like effect. And that's very, very successful. Once in a while, we might use some horseshoe-style padding, and that's quite successful. I can't remember the last surgical problem, so you don't want that opinion. You can easily control it. Almost always, it's extremely helpful. Proper orthotics, at the very least, over-the-counter superfeet, and get the back of that punched out and pay attention. It's common in that pronated, flattening out foot where we see those bumps. If the bumps are there and they don't hurt, you still want to follow through what I'm telling you to stay out of trouble because it's a common problem. Terry says, my 40-year-old something wife lives in heels. Talk about your article. You know, Perry, my article, sportsdoctorradio.com, newspaper articles called Women in High Heels Accepting the Challenge, talks about the very real positive steps that can be taken to try to stay out of trouble. When the high heel change mechanics of the back, the knees, the hips, anything over about an inch and a half to 2 inches can start being problematic posturally, whether it's pressure under the ball of the foot as you're tilting forward. That's a problem regardless of the height of the heel. So tell your wife we wanted to vary the heel height. We don't want to live in the same heel height and start over years contracting and shortening the calf muscle or the Achilles tendon, which could be problematic. Sometimes I'll see women, many times European women, who are very active, but they grew up in heels, and now that they're walking or running or playing sports, they may be having Achilles or calf problems because of that shortening. So make sure there's room enough in the ball of the foot. If you've got foot problems, again, don't jam the ball of the foot in. Vary the heel height, don't live in them, and strengthening the feet and ankles really makes a difference. Bill says, you know, I play adult hockey, I play basketball, I'm in my 40s. What about training? You know, Bill, strengthen those feet and ankles and work balance. See, you know, one of the chapters in my book, Hashtag Hey Sports Parents, I'm talking about youth sports, growing kids, whatever the sport is, whatever the level, but I'm also talking about you. I don't care what your sport is or how active you are, strengthening your feet and ankles. Rubber bands is a great way to do it. And working on balance, tilt boards, standing on the BOSU, working on the mini tram is great ways to work on the strength of your whole body. Ironically, it's the same exercise that we'll see done in the highest of high-performance athletes. And it's also the type of exercise that's done in our grandparents, the seniors, to prevent falling, to strengthen posture. Tina says, you know, Morton's neuroma, is it always a surgical problem? Morton's neuroma is an enlargement of a nerve that runs between the third and fourth toe. When it starts getting in the way because of pressure, imagine a high arch foot, or like we were just talking about high heels, pressure constantly, that particular connection can start to thicken, almost like a callus on your hand from working and thickening that area. It starts to get in the way. It can cause numbness. It can cause burning pain. It can cause people to think it's bunching up. We used to think it was only surgical. Now we find that orthotics, support, redistributing weight, sometimes a cortisone injection or two can be very, very helpful in shrinking that area. Surgery is not the first option. Conservative management, sometimes things like ultrasound to the ball of the foot, whirlpooling that area, but support, orthotics, can be really, really helpful. Jake says quickly, my 13-year-old son runs cross-country. He's always dealing with his shins hurting. What's the story? You know, Jake, the story is, if it's persistent and ongoing, it's almost always foot-related. The pronated foot that flattens out excessively is famous for overstraining that area. I call it the brakes, the posterior tibial tendon and muscle, which slows the arch and the foot down as we're running. Hard surfaces, being too aggressive too soon, all can be part of shin pain. It's not a medical diagnosis. So sometimes we see, hey, you got to rule out stress fracture in that area. You got to follow through with that. You got to look at tendonitis. So you want to make sure you're paying attention to strengthening, with the physical therapist recommendations of strengthening that foot, ankle, lower leg. What type of shoe is this kid in? Is he in racing shoes with no support? And pay big attention, see podiatry, look at orthotics, because it's one of the biggest weapons we have of controlling that excessive stress on that lower leg muscle. But get a medical diagnosis. Again, before we run out of time, I want to talk again about the upcoming Hey Sports Parents of Sports Doctors In online, where I'm going to be consulting with sports parents and coaches, talking about staying away from problems, talking about enhancing performance, talking about what does it take to deal with a high-performance son or daughter who's playing a particular sport. consistently at a high level. Again, like I've talked about forever on the Sports Doctor, there's a epidemic of youth sports overuse injuries. It's why we're excited about MVP Parent magazine coming out this week by the publisher Rich Dubin of Lower Extremity Review, one of our sponsors, or it's the upcoming documentary, Where Our Children Play, The Challenge of Youth Sports. Sports Doctor's involved with all of it. So, hey, everybody, stay safe. Smart hygiene. Be educated. Pay attention to spacing. See you next week.